Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. We always appreciate you tuning in every Saturday morning for the Let the Bible Speak program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come visit us at one of our services, Sunday morning at 9:30, 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We're currently studying in the book of Genesis for the adults, and we would be glad to have you come visit us for that study. We post all of our sermons online at wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org. You can look at those there. You can give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. If you need a ride to the church service, if you'd like a home Bible study, if you would like some spiritual help from God's Word, please contact us. This morning, I want to talk about what it means to be converted. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 3, Luke records that Paul and Barnabas and others were going up to Jerusalem. And on their way, Luke says, they therefore, being brought on their way by the church, passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. What does it mean to be converted? What is it when someone is converted to the Lord? We hear that word a lot. Many tell us of their conversion experience. What are they talking about? Sometimes we talk about new converts or a new convert class. What are we talking about? When we talk about someone converting to the Lord or going through conversion, what is involved with that? We claim to be converted to the Lord. But why is it sometimes that more Christians are not as faithful as they could be? There's another passage of Scripture in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, where James says, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he that converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sins. So here are brethren, and one among the brethren errs from the truth, and they need to be converted. So now we have a Christian who has erred from the truth, and they need to be converted. They need to come back to the Lord. Sometimes a lack of true conversion is witnessed in somebody's unfaithfulness or their lack of attendance. They won't come and worship the Lord when they should. They have forsaken the assembly. Has that person been truly converted, or did they just simply get wet in their baptism? Have we truly been converted to Christ? Paul talks about, in Romans chapter 6, those who obey the form of doctrine. There's a pattern that we find in the New Testament of individuals who were converted, things that they did, and we'll talk about that some later in the lesson. But now, have they gone back into the world? Let's examine from God's Word what it means to be converted. If you were to look this word up in an English dictionary, the word convert is simply to change from one thing to another. We might change from a metric unit system to the standard unit system. We might convert meters into yards and vice versa. We might convert liters into gallons or vice versa. We change different things. And conversion is often associated with change. You might convert paper products and plastic products and convert them, recycle them into new paper and plastic products or metal or aluminum. You change it from one form to another. But we're going to see that there's another element change might be a good way to describe the outcome, the end result. But what does it literally mean to be converted? We're going to see that that involves turning away from sin toward God. When a person is converted, they turn away from sin and they turn toward God. So let's see what it means to be converted this morning. And I'm thankful that you have joined us for this study. The first thing that I like to notice this morning on the study is that a sinner must be active in his conversion. Many people today, most likely because of the work of John Calvin and Calvinism, believe that a sinner is totally passive in his conversion. He does nothing other than have faith, which is active, but they say beyond that, there's nothing that he's going to do actively. This idea, brought on by the teaching of John Calvin, that we are born totally depraved, really keeps a person from acting for good. And the only way, according to Calvinism, that he's going to be converted is if the Holy Spirit directly operates on his heart. And they call it a conversion experience. And they say that a sinner cannot resist this conversion experience. So because, according to Calvin, a person is born totally depraved, they cannot act in any way. But what we find in the New Testament is that the word translated convert or conversion is in an active form. The Greek word, verb, it's a verb, strepho and epistrepho, means to turn again, to turn towards. And it's active in nature. These two verbs are active. The subject of the verb is acting and is not passive. And there's different examples of this in the Word of God. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 22 when he said he was going to pray for Peter. After Peter would deny the Lord, he would turn again and do better. We know he did that on the day of Pentecost. Luke 22:32, Jesus said, "I made supplication for you," that's Peter, "that your faith fail not, and do thou, when thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren." Turn again is this verb that we're talking about. Another example is in Acts chapter 3, when Peter himself, after turning again himself, tells others to turn. And in Acts 3, verse 19, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." It's interesting that this is one place where we find in the King James Version, it says, "Repent and be converted," in a passive way. It is thought maybe that the King James translators were influenced by Calvinism and put in a passive nature here. Be converted. Actually, there are different places in the King James where you find that. Acts 28:27, "and should be converted." John 12:40, "be converted." Mark 4:12, "be converted." Matthew 18:3, "be converted." Matthew 13:15, "and should be converted and I should heal them." These are in a passive form, as if someone is acting on you to be converted. But in fact, it's an active form. And so first of all, the sinner shows that he wants to change by his own activity in turning to the Lord. Another example of this is in Acts chapter 9 and verse 35. "And all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord." Acts chapter 11 and verse 21 with regard to the Christians at Antioch. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. And there's other examples of this. Acts 14, 15, Acts 15, 19, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 that we'll read later. And so what we find here is, first of all, that the sinner must be active. When one turns to God, he's not automatically saved. The second point that we want to talk about is that conversion starts with a turning, but it's not completely done there. Some rely on their feelings, saying, I feel in my heart that I'm saved. But we need to look to God's word for evidence of salvation rather than just feelings. Conversion starts with a feeling of wanting to turn away from sin and turn to God, but that's not the end of the process. We're going to find that conversion takes place in the life of a man, and pardon, forgiveness, takes place in the mind of God. The fact that a person is active in his conversion does not negate the possibility of outside influences working to help him. We actively turn, but it comes because of the preaching of the Word of God. And so the importance of preaching God's Word, that's why we want to have this radio program every Saturday. John the Baptist was sent to turn people back to God, Luke 1, 16 and 17. Paul was sent to preach to turn people to God, Acts 26, 18 through 20. And in that passage that we read earlier about James 5, 19 and 20, if one of you convert him from the error of his way, Christians are used by God to turn erring Christians back to the truth. So yes, the sinner is active, but other persons are active as well in bringing about that conversion. Unfortunately, not everybody wants to act and turn to God. About 700 years before the time of Christ, Isaiah is preaching and teaching. And when you look back to Isaiah chapter 6, there is a statement here that applies to Isaiah in his day. And then it was quoted in the New Testament and applied to New Testament times. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat or thick, hardened, and make their eyes heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. This passage of Scripture is applied in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 13, we find it also found in Acts chapter 28. When Jesus was teaching in his parables, he quotes this particular passage. It's also found in his confrontation with the Pharisees in John chapter 12. In these passages, certain ones refuse to turn because of their hard hearts and their blind eyes and their closed ears. Let's look at those passages. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. He's quoting this Isaiah 6 passage and saying that some people don't want to turn. We find it in John chapter 12. John makes the statement. But though he, Jesus, had done so many signs or miracles before them, yet they believed not, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, and this is the Isaiah 6 passage, verse 10, Isaiah 6:10, he hath blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. We find the same thing in Acts chapter 28, verses 23 through 28, when Paul is preaching to some Jews in Rome. They refuse to hear Paul's message. They reject it. And the same passage is quoted. The fact is, many are just not interested in turning to the Lord, no matter who the speaker is, no matter what the message is, no matter what the great outcome could be, forgiveness of sins, they're just not interested. Somebody might say at this point, well, then why preach? Because some will hear and some will turn. Some did in Jesus' day. Some did in the book of Acts. Some did with Paul and Peter and others. There are still good and honest hearts who want to turn to the Lord. It's just a matter of preaching until we find those individuals. Will you be one of those individuals today who will turn away from a life of sin and turn to God and receive the great blessings and benefits that come from being a Christian? So first of all, conversion means to turn, literally. And we're going to talk about that some more in just a minute. Number two, the sinner must be active. Number three, other people are involved and active as well in bringing about the conversion, particularly through the preaching of the gospel. And number four, some people just won't be active in turn. Will you turn? I want to talk a little bit now about this change, this turning in a person's life. It involves three things: a change in a man's heart, a change in a man's life, and a change in a man's relationship. When an individual turns to God, or a group, we started off with Acts 15 and verse 3, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Several people there turning to God. When an individual or a group is converted to the Lord, what happens? When there's a turning, what happens? Well, there's a change. In what way? Well, there's a change in a person's heart, there's a change in a person's life, and there's a change in a person's relationship. See if you have changed in these three ways. Now remember, the word convert or conversion literally comes from a Greek word that means to turn. But when that person turns to God from sin, there is a change. First of all, a person's heart is changed. The way he's thinking and feeling, it's no longer about himself, it's about, what does the Lord want? What does God want for my life? There's a change in his intellect, the way he thinks and reasons and understands. There's a change in his emotions, what he loves or no longer loves, what he hates, what he fears, what he has sorrow over. All of those things now are controlled by God and his word. There's a change in a person's will, his purpose or determination or obedience, his drive. All of that is now toward doing what God would have him to do. He seeks first the kingdom, as Jesus talks about in Matthew 6:33. He seeks first the kingdom and God's righteousness. He gives Christ the first place in his heart. Jesus talks about loving God with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, strength. And so there's a change in his thinking. His mind is set on those things that are above, Colossians 3 and verse 1. He has sanctified in his heart Christ as Lord, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. There are a lot of passages in the New Testament that talk about a person's heart, not the literal blood-pumping organ in our chest, but the mind of men and women, their thinking. And when a person is converted, a person's heart is changed. Number two, when a person's heart is changed, that heart directs the body to get up and do this and that. And when the body and its activities are changed, a life is changing. Number two, when a person is converted, their life is changed. They're no longer living a life of sin. They are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are done away. The old man is done away. The Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, 22 and following, Colossians 3, 9 and following, the old man is to be put off. The old man has been crucified, Romans 6, verse 4, in baptism. When we're baptized into Christ, that's the dividing point between killing off that old man and being raised to walk in newness of life. When one is converted, his heart is changed, and number two, his life is changed from living for self and Satan to living for God. He or she is a new man in Christ, a new creature, a new life. The word new here is new in respect to quality or nature. It's a new kind of life lived each day in service to God. A person's language is going to change. A person's dress might change to be more modest and covered up. Their language might change where they're not taking God's name in vain and other four-letter words and things like that. What they put in their body, they're not going to do that anymore that hurts them. Drugs and alcohol and other kinds of things. They're not going to go places that they shouldn't go. They're not going to view things that they shouldn't view. If they were engaged in sexual immorality, they're going to stop that, etc., etc. It's a new life, a changed life. And then, number three, when a person is converted, there is a change of heart, a change of life, and there's a change in a man's relationship with God. To change the heart and the life is not enough. We need to have sin removed from our life. Have you changed your relationship from that of being in sin to forgiveness of sins? From being outside of Christ to being in Christ? Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. He talks about how that there was a time when people were outside of Christ and lost in sin, and then they're in Christ. And the dividing point is verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God's grace, his love, and his kindness are mentioned there in the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2. The first few verses talk about sin and the problem of sin. The next few verses talk about God's kindness and mercy and love. And then, verse 8, through faith, an active, obedient faith. And that involves confessing that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That involves repenting of our sin and being baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And we go from being outside of Christ to being baptized into Christ. Baptism puts us into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. How can we be sons of God? Galatians 3, 27. Baptism puts us into that relationship. We might illustrate it with a young man and a young woman who are dating. When they are dating, their relationship has not changed. They're not married. They're not husband and wife. They're dating. And during this period, their hearts have changed one for another. They are not thinking about other people. They're thinking about each other. Their hearts, their emotions, and their intellect and their will has changed. And they're thinking about each other and how to please each other. But they're still not married. And then number two, as they're dating, and especially as they grow in that dating relationship, their lives begin to change to conform to the other's wishes, but they're still not married. They might change their hairstyle. They might change their clothing. They might change what they're eating. They might go out on a date and change how they act. The guy is going to act differently around his girl than he does around all the guys. But that doesn't make them married. And they don't have the privileges of the marriage relationship just because they have changed their hearts and their lives. They have to commit themselves to God in a marriage covenant in order to change their relationship to become husband and wife and live together as husband and wife. So I use that illustration to say a person's heart might change, their life might change, but they need to change their relationship with God, and that comes by being baptized into Christ. And we are not there until we have done that. We are not converted until we have done that. Have you been truly converted, friend? Do you have a new heart, a new life, and a new relationship? I fear too many people don't understand Bible conversion. And maybe some Christians don't understand Bible conversion, and they've slipped back into the world. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10 is a great summary of what God's Word says about conversion. Paul, writing this letter to the Thessalonians, says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had, how that you turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven." Turning to God, serving God, and waiting for His Son to return. What a great example for us today. Have you done that? If not, why not turn to God today? Let us help you do that. Come visit us. We'd be glad to have you visit at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come to one of our services. We would be glad to have you. And thank you once again for tuning in to the Let the Bible Speak program. We hope that this lesson has helped, and we hope that you'll have a good day.